But nowadays, most of the threats are not to our bodily self, the threats are to our self-concept. And with self-criticism, it's a double whammy because we are both the attacker and the attacked.
That's Dr. Kristen Neff, and this is the Depression Detox Show. And welcome back to the Depression Detox Show, where we share ideas and stories to help you live a happier life. I am your host, Malik Josephs. Happy Wednesday. I am grateful for you tuning in with me today as we have Dr. Kristen Neff returning to the show to talk about the complexities of self-esteem and ultimately why it doesn't work. And then she's going to talk about how to cultivate a more sustainable way of self-love. And then towards the end of the talk, she's going to share an exercise with us to wrap it all up into a nice little bow. Here's Dr. Kristen Neff. Enjoy.
So because our self-esteem is contingent, it's unstable. It goes up and down depending on our latest success or failure. You might say that self-esteem is a fair-weather friend. It's there for us when we succeed, but it deserts us precisely when we need it most, and that's when we failed or made some sort of mistake or been rejected. I have to tell you a little story. My self-esteem was really boosted and devastated at the exact same moment. I was in South Africa, and I was with a group of people, and I went to these riding stables, and there was this old Spanish riding instructor who, you know, I think he liked my Mediterranean looks, and so he said to me in front of this group of people, "You are very beautiful. Don't ever shave your mustache." Thanks. You know, thanks, I think, right? So, true story, by the way. So, self-esteem, it's just, it's there, it's not there, poof, it's gone. And so the problem is the end result is we feel inadequate. We aren't good enough, we aren't smart enough, we aren't pretty enough. Self-esteem is an unwinnable game. You know, it's a treadmill we'll never get off of unless we choose to get off of it. Okay, and that's where self-compassion comes in. You know, embracing our dark side, embracing our inadequacies, embracing our failures, really caring for ourselves in both good times and bad. So when I got to UT Austin, I decided I wanted to do research on self-compassion. You know, and a lot of people have talked about these ideas maybe in humanistic psychology or spiritual leaders, but at that point, no one had really researched it empirically. So I decided I needed to define precisely what self-compassion is. So I define it as having three main components. The first is self-kindness, treating ourselves like we would treat a good friend we cared about. So whenever we're suffering, again, we feel inadequate or we're struggling in some way, being a kind, caring, supportive, loving, and actively soothing ourselves, comforting ourselves when we're in need of it, just like we'd treat a good friend. It's funny, though, often, it's not funny, it's sad. We are so hard on ourselves. We say things to ourselves we would never say to a good friend. We say things to ourselves we would never say to someone we didn't even like very much. Okay, we are often our own worst enemy, and we're living with this voice in our head all the time. So self-compassion reverses that, and we start treating ourselves with this kindness, caring, and support, again, to help us when we need it. But this is really key, and this is what distinguishes self-compassion from self-pity. We remember that imperfection and suffering is part of the shared human experience. All people are imperfect. All people have imperfect lives. And you might say, well, of course, you know, I know that. That's what it means to be human. But if you actually look closely, what happens irrationally, emotionally, when we fail or we feel inadequate, is there's this sense of something has gone wrong. This shouldn't be happening, right? As if, hey, I signed up for the everything will go swimmingly till the day I die planned, and I want my money back, right? And so what happens when we feel that something has gone wrong, when we fail, that this is abnormal, is we feel isolated, as if somehow everyone else is leading these perfect, normal lives. And so by doing that, we add insult to injury, because not only are we suffering, we feel all alone in our suffering. But when we remember that this is a shared human condition, every moment of suffering becomes an opportunity for connection with others. And then the last piece is the mindfulness, okay? We need to be mindfully aware of when we're suffering in order to open our hearts to ourselves. You can think of self-compassion as a self-to-self relationship, right? How we treat ourselves. So mindfulness, instead of being lost in the storyline of what's happening, being over-identified with it, it allows us to step outside of the situation, to see clearly and to notice, wow, this is really hard right now. You're really struggling. And by noticing we're suffering, again, then we can respond with this caring concern. All right. So I want to give you all a little experience of these three components, if you will indulge me. I'd like everyone to put your hands out in front of you, right? And clench your fists. All right, for those of you like me who've got longer nails, I'm sorry, just won't last too long. So what does this feel like when you make this gesture? Maybe just can call it out. What does this evoke in you? Anger, defiance, power, frustration, right? This is what it feels like with self-criticism when we beat ourselves up. Okay, it's painful, it's stressful. Now release your fists and just open them up to the ceiling like this. So what changes? How does this feel? Release, space, right? Openness, receiving, right? So this is kind of a metaphor for mindfulness. This is what happens when we stop fighting our experience and just really see it and accept it as it is. Now if you put your hands forward like this, all right, what does this evoke for you? Welcoming, giving, receiving, right? So you can see this as a gesture of common humanity, of embracing others, of being connected. But now if everyone puts one hand over the other and place them over the center of your chest, okay, maybe just really feeling the warmth of your hands, the gentle touch, the gentle pressure, maybe even noticing the beating of your heart. Okay, what does that evoke for you? Love, kindness, comfort, right? So this is a gesture of self-kindness, right? Of self-compassion, you might say. It's funny, I was teaching this to a group of vets in Austin, these three components. I was talking about self-compassion, and I asked this question, you know, what does this evoke? And I was kind of nervous. I mean, these are vets back from Iraq and Afghanistan. There was one vet in particular. He seemed like he was 7 feet tall. He probably wasn't, but this big guy, burly, bald, covered with tattoos. And I'm like, so, put your hands on your heart, feel the gentle pressure, you know? And so, you know, what's he gonna do? And I said, what does this evoke for you? And he said, I never want to let go. And he didn't. I talked to them for an hour. He had his hands here the whole time, which kind of shows you, you know, he needed some self-compassion. All right. So there are some reasons why, oops, I'm too close, why we get these reliable responses. Self-criticism, the reason this feels so uncomfortable is self-criticism is rooted in the threat defense system, right? The reptilian brain, the idea is the system evolves so that when we see danger, our amygdala gets triggered, cortisol and adrenaline gets released, and we get ready for fight or flight. Now, the system is very useful when you're running away from a lion. Okay, But nowadays, most of the threats are not to our bodily self. The threats are to our self-concept. Okay, we feel inadequate, we failed, we feel threatened. Our amygdala gets triggered, release cortisol and adrenaline, and we fight the problem, but the problem is ourselves. And with self-criticism, it's a double whammy because we are both the attacker and the attacked. And we know self-criticism is associated with stress, anxiety, eventually depression, because it releases so much cortisol. Luckily, however, we aren't just reptiles. We're also mammals. Okay, so the big evolutionary advance with mammals is mammals have a long developmental period, which allows them to adapt more effectively to their environment, but a system had to be in place that would keep the mammalian young close and safe next to the mother. So all mammals have what's called, there's a lot of names, the caregiving and attachment system, self-soothing system. The idea is when we are next to physical warmth, gentle touch and gentle vocalizations, we feel safe and calm. And that's partly why this feels so good, because we're actually tapping into to our own system. So sometimes people say, Kristen, I don't know if I can be self-compassionate. And I say, if you're a mammal, you got a pretty good shot at it, right? If you're a reptile, I don't know, but if you're a mammal, you can do it. Right.
Big thanks to Dr. Kristen Neff for stopping by. If you'd like to connect with her, you can go to her website, self-compassion.org. Her Instagram is Neff Self-Compassion. Her latest book is entitled The Mindful Self-Compassion Workbook, A Proven Way to Accept Yourself, Build Inner Strength, and Thrive. And lastly, if you'd like to watch the entire talk, you can head over to YouTube and type in Kristen Neff, The Experience of Self-Compassion. And if you'd like to hear more talks with Dr. Kristen Neff, you can go to our show description, and in there will be a list of all the past episodes that we've had her featured on the show. I think she's been on 3 or 4 times. And also in there would be links to connect with her and her work. All right. When you get a chance, please follow the show, share it, or leave a rating and review on either Apple Podcast or Spotify Podcast. And lastly, follow me on Instagram at Depression Detox Show, where I post motivational and inspirational reels 7 days a week. So you can check me out over there. You can shoot me a DM. And that is a wrap for me. I appreciate you. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day, and I will see you back here tomorrow. So, until then, stay strong. Later.